So, do you come to Milwaukee often?
Actually, it's pronounced Milwaukee, which is Algonquin for the good land.
Actually, it means the good sports land.
Well, I guess this is the I Really Don't Want to Leave Arizona edition of the Good Sportsland podcast on MadCitySportsZone.com. Spent the last week or so out at Brewer Spring training. Great experience. And if you even just listen back to the past few episodes of the podcast or look at MadCitySportsZone.com, all the different stories we were able to put together and meeting different players and things like that and actually having time to, even if it's just 5 to 10 minutes, just talk with some of these guys and go through some baseball stuff, off the field stuff, whatever it is. And today's episode, the final one from spring training, we'll get back to Bucks. We'll still cover the Brewers. It'll be a solid mix throughout the next couple of weeks or months here. But today's episode features Corey Knebel. And he was nice enough to talk for a good amount of time. Him and I had a conversation and just really about not so much his injury and you know, the injury, Tommy John surgery, we all know that side of things, but just what happens with rehab, what happens with just going through that process. And one of the things he mentioned that his three favorite hobbies outside of baseball and time with his family include golfing, fishing, and bow hunting. All three of those things are not allowed when you are rehabbing an elbow injury. Just think about it. You definitely can't swing a golf club. You can't reel in a fish. I don't know anything about fishing. You can't reel in a fish. And bow hunting, I'm guessing when you're pulling back the bow, that's not allowed either. So literally, baseball is taken away from him due to injury. His three favorite non-family activities are taken away from him due to injury. And we kind of talked about the mental side of things. And he described how he really leans on his family and goes through what it was like to watch the Brewers in the playoffs last year after being so close to the World Series the year before. And it's just a very interesting conversation to me. So stick around, listen to that. The final episode from spring training is my conversation with Brewers pitcher, 2018 All-Star Corey Knebel. This episode will be a little bit shorter as well because I want to pretty much just focus on Knebel in that one. But there was a little bit of news yesterday. Depending on when you're listening to this, it could be a day or two ago. But the Milwaukee Bucks officially clinched a playoff berth. And look, we all knew it was going to happen. Their magic number, at one point I saw it was 16, and I never checked it again, to be honest. We knew they were going to go to the playoffs. We have seen this coming. But what is significant is the date in which they did it, February 23rd, because no other team has clinched a playoff berth earlier than February 23rd in a season, not even the Warriors when they were on their, you know, their run. I guess the run is over, obviously, due to injury, but they still made the finals, what, 5 seasons in a row? 3 championships? So the Warriors, even when they were just having sheer dominance, and it was Steph and Klay and Draymond and Kevin Durant, they didn't make the playoffs or clinch the playoff spot at this time in the season. A little bit of that might have to do with being in the Western Conference and how good the West has been, but whatever. February 23rd was the date that the Milwaukee Bucks clinched a playoff berth. They are just now 6 years removed from winning 15 games in an entire season. Think about that. And it wasn't because they had the number one overall draft pick that they got good overnight, because Giannis's rookie year, the team wins 15 games. He doesn't play much. They get the number two overall pick. They draft Jabari Parker. As good as he was at different times, he dealt with injuries and was a liability on defensive ends of the floor, things like that, and just never really meshed, never really worked out. So it wasn't, you know, the Cavaliers of 2001, 2002, where they had a horrible record. They get the number one overall pick, they turn things around, and all of a sudden, boom, they're the best team in the league. The Bucks are 6 years removed away from drafting potential in Giannis and having the number two overall pick that just never really worked out in their city, and continually to build from there. It was obviously a long road coming when it was the trade of Brandon Jennings. It was the bringing in Chris Middleton and Brandon Knight in return for things like that, and really working through that process and getting guys to complement all of them. The signing of Brook Lopez, the trade of Greg Monroe. First, the signing of Greg Monroe, then the trade of Greg Monroe, and bringing in Eric Bledsoe. And there's just so many little steps along the way. So I know if you'd ask a Bucks player about it, clinching a playoff berth means nothing to them. They were two games away from the NBA Finals last year, but it is another step in the process. And one of the things I learned when I was covering the Cavaliers, and they went to four straight NBA Finals, one championship, and it was celebrate the little things. For a guy like LeBron James or guys like Chris Middleton and Giannis in these situations, these aren't career, like, you're never going to go back and be like, yeah, we clinched the playoff berth. They're not printing t-shirts. You know what I mean? I did see billboards are going up all around Milwaukee, just congratulating them. I saw some stuff on social media, so some of that stuff is cool. But for younger guys on the team, for the Dante DiVincenzos of the world, the Pat Conningtons of the world, who experienced these things to a lesser degree, obviously Dante being on the roster last year but not really available for playoffs, and with Pat too, just, you know, his experience overall as an NBA player, but these small victories, the clinching of a playoff berth, the next one will be when they officially win the Central Division and then winning in the first round, and if they are, you know, lucky enough to advance from there. So it's not necessarily something to just gloss on over, but it is something that it should mean a lot, because these guys put in a lot of work, a lot of time, and when you are working through the process of chasing a championship, you can't just skip to the final page. You can't just skip to the NBA Finals. There's no chance at the finals if you don't make the playoffs, right? So they had to take care of step one. And for a lot of the younger guys, it's about the experience, the growth, the building. And I think the Bucks have done a very good job kind of putting them into that world. So they've made the playoffs. They're 48-8 at the time that I'm recording this. And they got 26 games to go. I'm recording this before they play Washington on Monday night. So they have that game coming up. But just either way, just what the Bucks were able to do on the floor, where this team was, where this team has been, and the ceiling for where this team could still possibly go is very, very interesting. There was a piece in the Ringer today about the Bucks. I have it favorited. I have to go back and read that, but we'll check that out and see if there's anything we can do with that. But while I can still talk baseball for a few more days, I want to get back to the Corey Knebel interview and play that here for you guys, because it just, in my opinion, it's insightful. It just offers a different look at injury and rehab and what his goals are for the upcoming season. So it starts off with me asking him just about the Brewers locker room, the clubhouse, and all the new faces they have around there, but him still being one of the guys who has returned and has played well for this team year after year. So live, it's a recording, but from the Brewers clubhouse in Phoenix, Arizona, it's Brewers pitcher Corey Knebel.
It feels good to be back with all the guys. It's being connected again, so now it's, you know, a lot of new guys, a lot of new pitchers, a lot of new position players, a lot of new catchers, so just to kind of get to know them and get to know each other and become close and get ready for the season.
I was talking to a couple of the other guys about that, just all the new faces in the clubhouse and out here. Who to you has been the most outgoing new teammate that you've had?
Outgoing new teammate? Mm-hmm. It's probably Grim here. He's been he's out there. You know, he's He lets everyone know he's here, so he's a good guy to have as my locker mate.
Does the clubhouse seem, just from an observational standpoint, it seems like guys already meshing, already having a ton of fun? Is that how it seems to you as well?
Yeah. I think council does a good job of that, kind of day one, meetings of pitchers and catchers, and then day one for full team. He does a good job of helping everyone know, like, this is what we're doing. You know, we're here every day. We're here basically with each other more than we are with our families most days. Mm-hmm. So, become close. You know, we're going to be with each other for 180 days this year during the season. So, we've got a good group, and we're all coming together. Everyone's getting along. So, that's the main thing. It's a long season, and there's going to be a lot to happen. So, to have each other and have our brothers behind our back, it's a good thing.
I know one of the things people always ask is like, oh, when are you going to be on the mound? When are you going to be that? But just how do you feel physically and things like that, just as you throw a little bit here in Arizona?
I feel great. Okay. Physically, mentally, everything's going well. So I'm coming up on my sixth bullpen today. So, you know, it's a number right now. It's just I'm basically throwing two times a week anyway, throwing bullpen starting two times a week, so that's all it is. You know, I can't really get too far ahead of myself. I'm throwing, I'm trying to stay healthy, and that's the main thing. So I'm getting ready to go, and however long it takes, I'm going to be ready to go once I get back up.
You said physically and mentally, but how much of people, I don't know if people actually realize coming back from injury what the mental hurdle is. Did you ever hit those along the way where it's just frustrating, it's long days?
You hit that in the summertime here. That heat will get you, man, you know, so yeah, it's It's a you kind of go through some stuff, and you just gotta get over it. You know, I went home for a month and a half and cleared my head. Mm-hmm. That was what I was able to do. Lucky enough to go back home to Texas and basically start over. So get back out here in January, and I was ready to go. And now, hey, it was a good little mental break, and I feel great now. So it's 10 and a half, almost 11 months now. So. It's a long process. It is.
What do you do to clear your head, like, away from baseball? What are you, golfer, fisher, anything like that?
Yeah, I love to golf. I love to fish. I love to hunt. But with the injury, couldn't golf, mm-hmm. couldn't fish, couldn't bow hunt. So I had to rifle hunt. And, you know, rifle hunting is not really too exciting to me. You know, you're checking them out in the scope and you pull the trigger. There's not really any work to be done until after. So it was all right. But... I mean, I got a kid. I love going home to her and clear my head with her and hang out with my family. Of course, when they're both asleep, if I'm still up, I'm ready to have some fun, I'll play some video games. So,
nice.
Just kind of you throw in a couple things here and there then that you can't do. You gotta make do. Gotta have some fun somehow. So
athletes do have lives outside of sports, despite people not thinking you guys do.
We definitely have other lives outside of sports. All right, my family is my biggest part of my life, so I'll do anything for them.
What's your daughter's name?
Ledger. Nice. Ledger Star.
Is that? I would think of Heath Ledger right away, but
I love Heath Ledger. No, you know, it's my wife just decided we had all these names picked out. Mm-hmm. Ledger wasn't one of them, and then.
It wasn't one of them?
It wasn't one of them. A couple weeks before she was born, my wife was just like, I like Ledger. We're going to name her Ledger. All right.
There you go.
I got no say in this. We're naming her Ledger. So I didn't ask her how she got it. She just liked the name. So that was it.
And then real quick, I know you guys got to go, but any personal goals this season? Is it just health? Is it to get back to that all-star form? What are you kind of looking at to look at this year as a success?
My main goal is to... selfishly become the comeback player of the year and unselfishly win the World Series. I love to just be back in the postseason, help mm-hmm. contribute to the boys. And I know 2 years in a row, you know, we've missed them by that much. So just to be there and help them out, I mean, I can't wait, man, to come back and be healthy and throw some high heat. Can't wait, man.
I know the regular season has to be tough to watch when you're injured, but the postseason too last year, especially when it comes down to late game innings and things like that, how just brutal is that to have to know that you can't do anything?
Yeah, it was it was one of those kind of gut punches, watching everybody, and of course, you know, you're gassed going into the postseason, but mm-hmm. in the postseason another animal kicks in you. So I was happy to see what the guys in the pen did last year, especially in the postseason. I mean, they looked good. You know, there's always just one thing, you know, even during the season, one mistake that happens, and that's how it usually is. So, you know, it's the name of the game. You can't change it. It's always, what is it? Baseball's a game of inches. Hey, that's exactly what it is. So, it was tough to watch, but hey, you know, I think someone said it earlier. It's like ripping off a Band-Aid. You rip it off, and we're all ready to go this year.
Yeah, so my first takeaway from that, and literally in real time, I thought there's going to be a lot of Wisconsin people who don't like his comments about hunting with a rifle. It's not an area of expertise of mine by any means or something I do, but I just thought it was a funny line because he basically called out all the hunters who hunt with a rifle. So I'm curious about the feedback on that one, but that basically wraps up spring training, the first week of spring training coverage. Maybe you guys can do me a favor and tweet at Zach Heilprin and Ebo and those guys and get them to send me back out there for another week. I feel like now I just have like baseball season on my mind at all times because you got a little taste of it being out in Arizona and want to continue to do interviews and things of that nature as the team really opens up games and starts playing and we kind of see how this roster shakes out and how the rotation ends up looking like. I know Corbin Burnes, obviously, couple podcast episodes ago, he said he's competing for a starting spot. Corey Knebel trying to get back on the mound after Tommy John surgery. You get the newcomers with Brett Anderson and Josh Lindblom, amongst others. So a lot of very interesting storylines to chase throughout the spring here to follow along. But really appreciate everyone listening to the interviews that we were able to track down, the insight and the stories that we were able to get while out in Arizona. There are more. I'm sure they'll come up at some time. Just watching the guys interact, watching the guys go through practices, everything like that. So there's a ton of, like, going back to the whole Melk story with Lorenzo Cain and Christian Yelich that I said on the podcast the other day. That was just a just a fun interaction that you get to see, and you don't get that anywhere else. So big thanks to the team for making that trip out there possible, and looking forward to covering this team this season, and hopefully covering a winning team, as I know that's what their team goals are, obviously, and the Brewers will take it from there. So that was Corey Knebel on episode 11 of the Good Sportsland podcast, MadCitySportsZone.com.